Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll be reflecting on that reading from Luke 11. Here's one of those verses. It says, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you." You may be seated. When you have two people in a relationship, what is the one thing that you can do or have in that relationship to keep that relationship healthy? Any ideas? Oh, come on, 8 o'clock was more talkative than you all. Communication. All right, communication. Healthy relationships required. If we're not talking with one another, if we are not communicating, we're not connecting. Wives, you know this, right? When you're wanting to talk to your husband and he's lost in the space that we guys get to have called that nothing space, and you're trying to talk to him, and I know guys, you're like, yeah, all right, pastor, if you're not connecting, if you're not communicating, you're not connecting. And there's a number of ways that we can communicate. One, we can make eye contact with the person who we are talking and listening to. It shows that we care about what's being said. I notice, as I said, when we make eye contact, you all like looked up. So when we care about what's being said, we make eye contact. We communicate, I'm interested in what you have to share with me. And we have communicated that without using words. We can communicate non-verbally and verbally. When we communicate, when we connect. When we do not talk, when we do not communicate, we do not connect. And if that continues, that relationship will not be healthy. It will eventually fizzle and die, and what do you expect? You're not talking with one another. You're not communicating with one another. And here's something that we get to do, okay, in our relationships, whether it's husband-wife relationship, whether it's parent-child relationship or co-worker relationship or friend-to-friend relationship, we need to talk deeply and talk often. Who here loves small talk? Yeah, you're all like me. Right? Small talk drives me bonkers. You put a California and Michigan and you have them talking about the weather. I have no idea what to do. You know, I'm used to sunshine and fog. Those are the two seasons that we get in California. I don't have a lot to draw from small talk when it comes to weather. Maybe you do, but small talk it's not helpful. You have an opportunity to talk about your life, your challenges, your trials, your joys, and your dreams. And I have that opportunity to share with what's going on in my life. You have this mutual care and concern for one another. You get to talk deeply. You get to talk often. That is like just a refreshing aspect of a relationship, and we long for that. So we get to talk deeply, and we get to talk often. And today, we're going to be reflecting on prayer. And from this pulpit, we've often shared the need for prayer and God's command for prayer. And we're going to reflect on that again, because it's good for us, as we are on this discipleship journey, to go back to the basics and be reminded of the things that we get to do at God's invitation. Simply to just talk to him deeply and often. He actually uses in Scripture to pray without ceasing. It's a far cry of what we look like as American Christians, or maybe not just American, as westernized Christians. There's a number of studies out there that talk about how much time an average Western Christian will spend in prayer. Some studies say 4 minutes a day. Others say 10 minutes a day. Some say 30 minutes a day. Now, the reason why this is on the screen is not for you to go, yeah, I fall right in there. I'm doing pretty good. No, we should never put a time limit on prayer if God's saying we should pray without ceasing. It's something that we get to do. And so I'm asking simply, where do you fall? Does your prayer life look like one that's more just the dinner table conversation prayer, like, come Lord Jesus, or now I lay me down to sleep at night? And God would like us to do a little bit more. That's just simple small talk. If you think about it, you just go through the motions. It's like saying, hi, how you doing? I'm fine, thank you very much. And you're walking past one another. God wants us to talk deeply and talk often with him. And so Jesus in Scripture uses a parable to teach us what he expects. Now, this is one of those parables, as I was a kid, I didn't understand how this made sense. But as you get to look into it a little bit more, I'll help flesh that out. Scripture says it's about midnight when a friend shows up after a journey to his friend's house. Now, this must have been a super small town. And I mean, that kind of stuff doesn't even happen here in Frankenmuth, right? People do not show up to your house at midnight. If you do, you're like, something's a little off here. Well, you and I, we're used to traveling by car. We're used to air conditioning. And if you think about in Bible times, when they were traveling under the hot Middle Eastern sun, the best time for people to travel would be starting at sundown. So this gentleman or this friend started a journey maybe at sundown and arrived at his or her friend's house at midnight, maybe a little hungry. And so they came into the home, and all of a sudden, here's this now host put on the spot. I have nothing to set before them. I'm going to go next door and see if they have anything. He proceeds to knock, and from the other side of that door, you hear, don't bother me, the house is now asleep. And then you hear this. If I do this for the next 15 minutes, would you be really grateful when the prayer, sermon ends? You want to know why that prayer was answered, or that person was answered? Because the knocking was incessant. Scripture says impudent, or other versions say persistent. The reason why the guy got up out of bed to help out his neighbor was because he knew that person wasn't going to go away unless he got the help that he needed. And do you realize God invites us to be this annoying kid to do that? He wants us to bug him with our prayers. And he doesn't see it as annoying. He actually commands us to pray. If God saw it as annoying, or if God really did not want to listen to our prayers, do you think he would take the effort of going to a cross for us? If he wanted to remain distant and aloof, if he could care less about a relationship with him, would he go there? And just the fact that Jesus goes to the cross and is willing to lay down his life communicates so much love and desire to connect with us. That is the answer that we have. God wants us to have a relationship. God wants us to talk to him. It's a beautiful gift that he gives us. And so he says in Scripture, as he fleshes it out, he says, ask, it will be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and the door will be opened. God wants us to bug him. And he doesn't think of it as bugging. He thinks of us as simply leaning on him, the author and perfecter of our faith. That next little line, God commands us to pray. We know from the second commandment, Martin Luther fleshes this out in the catechism, that we are not supposed to take the Lord our God's name in vain. Many of us think of, okay, swearing. But really, if we Christians aren't drawing on God in prayer, we're missing out on that as well. We're abusing that commandment. We're not following it. God wants us to pray. Now, maybe you are... To be honest, maybe you're saying, Pastor, listen, I do knock. I'm constantly praying, and it doesn't seem like my prayers are being answered. Well, let's go there for a little bit. Our prayers aren't being answered when we think they should be going a certain way. That's a Western thought. And there's one Lutheran pastor here within the States that fleshed it out this way. He says, American Christians don't pray very much because they believe that God should automatically protect them from harm. So that means we should never have to face any challenges or trials or tribulations, simply because we show up to church more than just Christmas and Easter, or simply because we believe in Jesus, that he should somehow protect us from harm. Well, in our human understanding, that might make sense, but there's still things like cancer. There's still things like Canadian hockey teams that are going to a playoff game, get into a bus accident, 15 of them lose their life, 14 are injured. How does that make sense? God's never promised that we weren't going to have a life that's easy. He says, actually, in this world, you're going to have trouble, but I have overcome the world. If we follow the logic of God should protect us from harm automatically, then what really we're saying is God should have protected Mary, the one that gave birth to Jesus, from seeing that her son was being murdered on a cross, or that God should have protected his son from going there, and he doesn't. See, God has a whole different understanding. He knows what is required for us to have a relationship with him. He knows that sin stands in the way and that we cannot stand before a holy God. And so he sends his son to pay the price for us, to cover us in the blood of his righteousness so that we can simply just stand and talk to our Lord. He loves us that much. A lot of us will maybe try and do things on our own. Maybe we think that because God hasn't answered our prayers the way we think they should, we'll just do this on our own. Lord, thanks, I got it from here. Well, we don't say those words out loud, but that's the way we act. And I love this illustration. I've used it once before, but here I have a picture of a bathroom stall. Young boy wants to be a little independent, and so he wants to do things his way and on his own. And when he's done in the bathroom stall, he needs to get out. And dad's standing there waiting. Do you want any help? Nope. Now, how do bathroom stalls open? Do they open? They open in, right? Towards the toilet bowl. So here's this young guy who's ready to get out, and his little feet are under the door going about a mile a minute just trying to get outside. And dad asks him, do you want any help? Nope, I got it. Dad takes his little finger and pushes against the door. The little boy grabs that opening, swings it open, says, I did it. Do you know God even allows us to do that? When we want to do things our way, or we expect things to go on the way we think it goes, it's like we're surrounded by walls filled with nothing but a life that looks and reflects like the muck in the mire, or just call it toilet water. And God wants us to have so much more than toilet water. He wants us to have his living water. And so he sends the Holy Spirit into our life to push gently, to create those openings for us to have that relationship, to be connected to him. And we can swing that door open and say, Lord, I'm here. I did it. And he goes, yes, yes, you are. I love you so much, my son and my daughter. He desires us to have a good connection with him. He punches up the rest of the scriptures. He says, listen, you earthly fathers who give gifts, or you earthly parents, let's put it that way, you good gifts to your children, and yet you're sinful. What about me who is holy and just and merciful and compassionate? I want to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. I want to give you faith. I want to give you the ability to trust in me and not worry about your circumstances, but to trust those circumstances to me, because I can see things so much clearer than you can. When does that come to light in reality for us the most? It's when we lose loved ones, when we're touched by loss. We say we lost someone, but in faith, really, we know they're in paradise with our Lord if they died in the faith in Christ. So we didn't lose them. We know right where they are. It's a different perspective. God draws close to us in those times to give us comfort, to remind us of the hope of the resurrection, and to speak peace into our hearts. And when we don't have the words to say, he communicates love and mercy and compassion. He says, I'm still here with you. I'm still here with you. And then you know what else God does? He gives us one another. Brothers and sisters in Christ, to lean on each other, to draw support from each other, to keep us accountable to the teachings of Scripture. And I know that we had a little bit of a hiccup with our service bulletins, but inside of those service bulletins, you may see a card that looks like this. On one side, it says, bless. On the other side, it's supposed to be the name of a family. If you did not receive one, I'm going to encourage you following worship. There's a number of them remaining at the exits. And what I'm going to encourage you to do is, this is a family who is a member here at St. Lawrence. And what we could do is pray for one another. You can use this little acronym. You've been hit with three of them today. One was the axe, one was pray, and now today this one is bless. All different models that you can use to approach our Lord in prayer. But how cool would it be over the next month if we draw together a community of believers supporting one another in prayer, reaching out and covering each other with God's love, asking for God to bless them as we've been blessed. And why does this matter? Because we are in a day and age where if Christianity is on the decline, at least in the Western world, and our values are under attack, then we're going to need each other more in the days to come than we do even today. And the best thing that we can do is pray with one another that God will continue to work mightily in our lives. And so may God do that. May God work in our hearts. May he grant us the ability to call on him in prayer in all that we do, but in all that we do in his name and according to his good and gracious will. And when we don't have words, may the Holy Spirit intercede for us as he promises he will in Scripture. Amen? Amen. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard our hearts and lives in Christ Jesus. Amen.